from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Now, back to Dillard and Wibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, Willie and Dibby hanging out with you on a Monday. Mike Dunleavy just spoke. Monty Poole was among those asking the questions. Monty Poole will join us in a half hour. Until then, we continue with our takeaways, and we should add this to the party.
Okay.
From Mark Stein. Long time. Illustrious NBA reporter. First, there's a paragraph about how the Clippers are pretty likely to find a Paul George trade market out there, pretty likely that they'll want to trade him. They've been negotiating for a while. Paul doesn't like what they're saying, and so there's probably going to be some sort of a deal there. Stein adds this, and I even heard Geltzeiler say to Steiny and Evan earlier today, Paul George and the Knicks. That's a good match. Paul George and the Knicks. Well, Mark just wrote this. Quote, I'm pretty sure that the Warriors are as interested in George as the Knicks. Maybe more. Can Golden State assemble the likely multi-team trade that would be needed to win the PG-13 sweepstakes? Stay tuned. The Warriors, as usual, are aggressively exploring trade options with the Chris Paul contract situation we've been writing about for a month at the center of those efforts. End quote, Mark Stein. And for those of you who don't know what the Chris Paul contract situation he's been writing about is, well, Chris, with a deadline currently that sits at July 28th, that is, checks math, Friday of this week?
Friday.
All right. So that's currently the deadline. They are attempting to push that deadline back beyond July 1st when free agency actually begins. But Chris right now has a non-guaranteed $30 million deal for next year. Warriors can waive him. Mike Dunleavy even said so. Could waive him. Could keep him. I don't think that's going to happen. That's code for could waive him, could keep him because we found a trade. So if you keep him, that means that basically either you're signing up for that $30 million next year and somebody may want to acquire him as an expiring deal. Or if you can move that deadline back, I do believe you can trade him as a 30, and I don't know this for sure, but I think you could trade him as a $30 million contractual piece that the other team can then acquire and immediately cut.
Yeah.
Just pay Chris $5 million to go away, and it opens up a bunch of money on your cap.
And that, I think, is the backbone of what Mark Stein was writing about as far as multi-team trades, because you need to have a team out there that's willing to take on the Chris Paul contract and then pay him the $5 million for him to go away. And you'd have to incentivize that team with a pick. And then that team would probably also get another pick from another team that was involved in a 3 or 4 team trade. And you see these a lot of times in the NBA where there's so many players and picks flying around. and it all works out for the money. There's usually a team that just wants picks. There's another team that's willing to take on money to get rid of that player and have some financial relief. And then another team that's looking to add a veteran piece.
Let's go there for a second.
Okay.
Paul George, what do you think?
I mean, he's a good player. He's getting up there. He kind of fits the bill as far as, another veteran on a veteran-laden team.
Yeah.
Paul George is 34, and, he's a guy who I think fits as far as what you need. You need more wing depth. He was healthier this past year than he's been the previous handful of years before, so that's exciting. And he's still a very good, very productive player, and he provides exactly what this team lacks, which is size on the wing and length.
Shot over 41% from three-point range last year, played 74 games, averaged 22.6 a game, and was an all-star again for the, umpteenth time in his career. 33, about to turn 34, maybe already has, actually.
Yeah.
Turned 34
in May.
Years of age. Yeah, just did. 90% free throw shooter. Averaged a little bit over 5 rebounds a night. I mean, he's Paul George. Paul George is a fantastic player. The one concern I have about all of these ideas is continuity. Like, I'm a big, big believer in the NBA. And if the Warriors, it's already a stretch to me for the Warriors to believe that a core that's this old can truly compete for a championship, and we should actually address the way Mike Dunleavy answered that, because he said something real interesting in there. I think it's already a little bit of a stretch. So to then add in a new player who simply replaces your other 34-year-old, granted a healthier 34-year-old.
And he's better than Clay.
And he's better. He's more of an all-around presence on the court. I get all of those things. But to simply do that and have it be someone new who's never played with Steph, who's never been in Steve Kerr's offense, to me, that feels like something that's going to take at least a season of getting used to. And then where are you?
Yeah.
Now everybody's just a year older. That's one of the reasons I remain intrigued by exploring the Kevin Durant sweepstakes, which I don't even know to what level they exist, or maybe they're knee deep in those conversations as well, and they're laying in the weeds. But I love the idea of somebody who's already done this before joining the team again.
Yeah, I know what you're saying about that part of it. I think, Paul George being younger, and, you could debate who was better last year. I think Kevin Durant probably still better offensively. I like Paul George's ability to defend for the Golden State Warriors, and you definitely need more wing defense that you were desperately lacking this year. The other part of it is if you do trade for Paul George, he's going to want a contract.
Correct.
He's playing. He's going to pick up his player option, and it's the final year of his deal. So if you do acquire Paul George, it does come with that caveat where he's probably going to want a 3 or 4 year extension on top of the 1 year he already has.
I'm sure he's going to want 4. I don't know if he'll get it, but that to me is another interesting wrinkle here. And you say he's definitely going to pick up his player option. If he gets dealt somewhere, maybe he won't. Maybe it's going to be, I'll decline my player option in exchange for a brand new 3 or 4 year deal that you're going to execute. I have no idea what the number would be for Paul George. It's 48.7 is the player option for this year.
Right.
So that's the arena you're talking about. Again, years are always, in my opinion, more important than the number. So could the number come down a little bit in favor of years? Sure, it could. But if everything is all about this timeline that's kind of been created by Steph Curry, how does Paul George match up with that? It feels to me like not very well, unless you're hoping Paul George to be some sort of gap bridger.
Yeah.
On the other side of Steph Curry, he can be your veteran piece as Jonathan Kuminga becomes 25 and all of that stuff. I don't know, but this is a pricey option and one whose years don't match up exactly right.
Yeah, the Kevin Durant years do kind of match up because he's got 2 years left, although the money is richer. Either one of those players you bring in, you're probably going to be flirting with that second apron line again. And Mike Dunleavy, when he spoke earlier in our show, he had his pre-draft availability. He didn't completely rule out the idea of them again going over the second apron line. He did say, though, that it has to make sense on a number of levels to go ahead and go up to that level again.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that he said, this is the first time I've ever heard Mike Dunleavy reference this. And throughout, like, especially in the 5 o'clock hour, because Monty Poole's coming up here in 20 minutes, but we will bring back some of the commentary from Mike Dunleavy if you missed it. But he just had his pre-draft media availability. We had it right here on 95.7 The Game. It's the first time I've ever heard him make a reference to the idea of the age of the core and how long they can still compete for a championship. And I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but there was a reference to, like, we're not there yet, but these guys are going to have to realize at their age, kind of like, how much time is left with regard to their ability to compete for a championship. He said that in conjunction with an answer about not wanting to give up on these young players and include them in a trade, because he's very much stated a goal of, yes, we do want to compete right now, but we also want to continue to be very good into the future and beyond the big three. It's an interesting, like, it sounds like, well, duh, he wants to be good and then they want to be good. Like, what did he say there, Mark? Well, I think there was something in there almost maybe about wanting to dispel this idea that's out there that the Warriors are only about the next 2 years.
Right.
And they do not care about anything else other than that. Maybe they do, but they don't want it to feel that way. They certainly don't want to say that publicly. So that was the first time I've heard him sort of talk about the guys and their age.
Two timelines is back, Mark, is what I heard him say.
Great.
Two timelines, baby. We're back in business. But if you're Mike Dunleavy, it doesn't do you a lot of good to go all in on the next 2 years and blow up the future. So if you don't win a title in the next 2 years and Steph retires and Draymond's up and Wiggins is going to walk and now you're Mike Dunleavy and you're left with nothing, because you traded Kuminga, you traded Moody, you got Pods, this year's second-round pick, Usman Garuba, and now Mike Dunleavy's looking for work. So it doesn't do a lot for him to, you know, go ahead and go all eggs in one basket for the next 2 years. Although, you're right, it is mostly just him saying it publicly so they maintain some leverage.
Yeah. I do have that sound clip for you guys if you want it.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
And just so everybody knows, the question that brought everybody into it, he was asked about the key to actually making a big trade this time of the year.
Okay.
I think we have to be realistic, and I don't want to, like, press and overdo something. Some patience needs to take place, while at the same time recognizing sort of this time horizon we have with Steph and Draymond and, you know, hopefully Clay. As those guys kind of get a little bit older, we have to be mindful at a point maybe they're not at a level to compete for a championship. I don't think that's, like, too near, but at some point it probably will be.
Okay. I don't think it's, like, too near, but it's, like, kind of near.
Well,
like, not this year, but kind of maybe sort of this year.
Maybe,
like,
it is here. I mean, you know, well, nobody knows. It sure felt like last year, if a couple things would have gone their way, they feel like they still were in that championship sort of window, or, you know, championship adjacent window. Then you're the 10 seed and you realize, well, you know, if Draymond plays more and, you know, man, if we get Paul George or KD, we're right back in it.
You're talking about the classic rub with the Warriors organization right now.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really want to just draw a line in the middle of the fan base, this is how you do it. Everybody over here, get over here on the right if you think that the Warriors are still competitors for a title. And if they were just a non-Draymond suspension away from being the 5 seed, all of you go over here on the right side of this line. Okay. Everybody thinks that that's an absolutely ridiculous tale. This thing's over and nobody will admit it. You get over here on the left side of the line. What's the bigger side?
The left side.
You think so?
The left side. Yeah. It's probably a 2-to-1 ratio, 2/3 to 1/3 of, you know, left side, right side. And one free agent signing or one big trade here in the next week can swing a lot of those people from the left over to the right.
No doubt. Well, here's what I also hear. I hear this with Mike Dunleavy. And so when he says, hey, yeah, we want to be good now, we want to be good in the future, boy, I would sure be shocked if we got rid of any of our young guys. But the old guys are still championship ready. I mean, maybe they won't be for long, but they are now. Look, it's keeping all options on the table. It is keeping your negotiating position high. You want the rest of the world. And this is, by the way, I don't want to betray any confidences. I didn't talk to Bob Fitz off the air at all. I love Bob. When he said last week, I mean, or just, right, Clay, re-sign, right, just Draymond, don't get suspended. This team can compete with everyone. He said that. I think that this is an organizational effort right now. They want the world to believe that they think their roster's fine. It's just like going to buy a car. You better have a car that you showed up in. If you took an Uber and that salesperson sees that you took an Uber, they're going to be like, this person doesn't have a car. You want that salesperson, no, I got a car. I don't need to buy a car today. I'm interested, but I don't have to unless you give me a good deal. The Warriors are sitting here. They want the world to think that they think their roster is just fine. My belief is they don't. They don't. Because every single reporter that we've heard, Mark Stein, what we just read you is the most recent. Every single one. Here's the most important thing that was said to me in that Mark Stein piece. Okay? There's the part about Paul George and then this line. The Warriors, as usual, are aggressively exploring trade options. There's your sentence. That, to me, that's what's going on right now. Mike just, you know, put his feet up on an automobile. We're good. I'm not, you know.
It's going to be weird having 2 days of draft, am I right? And, you know, 4 minutes instead of five in the second round. It's going to be an adjustment.
Do any of you know how hard it is to make a trade in the NBA?
It's really like hard.
Crazy hard.
Super
like,
hard.
I mean, it's like a four-leaf clover. Like, what are we talking about here? That's probably not going to happen. I don't think there are going to be any trades in the NBA this offseason. Way too hard.
Yeah.
Way too hard. But I tell you what, our young guys, boy, they're great. Am I right? Like, really good young players. We would hate to get rid of any of them, and we want Clay back, too. Thank you for coming to Chase Center and listening to my TED Talk. Good night, everybody. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. I just don't think that's what's going on. I think the Warriors are freaking out and trying to make something happen.
Yeah, I don't know if I would
freaking
go so
out
far.
Is the wrong. Like, no, but I don't mean they're like stressed.
When
but
you
I think
said
they're
freaking out, the first thing I thought of is Joe Lacob in Sacramento. And now he wasn't freaking out, but he was freaking mad.
He was mad.
He was mad.
Yes.
And he should have been mad because not only were you in the play-in and he had already gone on our station and talked about, no, we're not, our plan is to never be a lottery team again. Well, 0-for-1 on that front, because you're a lottery team, and you didn't have your pick because it got conferred. Unless you were top three, you lose it, and you lost it. So not only were you in the lottery, but you lost the lottery, and you lost your pick. And so, yeah, see you in the second round, guys. Yeah. So he's not freaking out, but he's freaking mad. And no, they should be freaking mad.
Yeah.
And it's two more years of staff, maybe more. Who knows what the window is, but you got to fix this thing.
I mean, I guess my point is Mike Dunleavy, when you listen to him talk, does not sound aggressive.
Yeah.
But I think he's being incredibly aggressive. I just don't think the Warriors take kindly to the way that ended.
Right. And I think, you know, when it comes to being aggressive, there's only so much you can do at this point. And, you know, you're going to try to find the best player you can with your second round pick. And he was even asked about the idea of that player being rostered this year. And he's like, yeah, you know, of course you'd love to, but you know, these second round picks, it's not quite one in a million, but it's close. And he mentioned, you know, the Joker, and he mentioned Draymond Green and a couple of other second round hits. Hard to find him, although they did last year with TJD.
888-957-9570, Imani Poole, NBC Sports Bay Area, dialed in, Warrior Insider. He joins us in 10 minutes. Let's go out to you, Austin in San Jose on Willard and Dibbs. Hey, Austin, what's cooking?
Hey, my guy Willard, man. Damn, I actually agree with you.
What'd I say?
You know,
I'll change it.
Dunleavy, I mean, well, listen, a couple things. Dunleavy is, I think he's being honest with you, man. I mean, listen, the whole thing about it, I think he told you that this roster is old. I mean, I don't think he has to do that talking 2 years from now. I think he basically told you. By the way, I saw Dunleavy at San Jose State games. This guy is out there in the road doing his thing. This isn't some guy that's sitting in a suit. you know, projecting on a screen. This guy's actually out there recruiting. So I have a lot of faith in Dunleavy if you give him time. But the reality is that, yeah, the Warriors got to do something now. This isn't about, like, 2 years from now. And this isn't really like a criticism of Klay Thompson, but I think Klay Thompson represents, unfortunately, timing-wise, what the Warriors need to do. They need to move on, whatever that looks like. So I don't think we need to prolong that discussion. And Dibley, you know, whether it's two aprons or garments or whatever, you know, I know that people fixate on all this machinations on finance, but the reality is that, for me, I want to go see a better product. I mean, I went to the New Orleans game this year, guys, and paid my hard-earned money, which I don't have a lot of. And that was one of the worst games. People were walking out early. I didn't walk out, just to be on the record. But there were people that were walking out. Joe Lacob, I did fixate on him. He was pacing back and forth. And then Klay Thompson, and again, I don't want to raid on Klay Thompson, but he made a statement after the game saying, you know, he didn't care, didn't keep him up at night and all that stuff. So I'm saying, hey, you know what? And Steph Curry, in the same sentence, the same question about that game, said, no, we owe the fans something to cheer about. So I think there's two different perspectives here. I'm not sure Klay Thompson really understands, you know, the totality of what he represents, what he has represented for the Warriors. I just want to see the Warriors be a better product, whether it's with Klay, without Klay. I don't think they're a better product with Klay. I'm all in on Paul George. Not as much on Jimmy Butler, though. I don't think Jimmy Butler would be a good idea for the locker room. And then the question I have, guys, last thing I have, I'm concerned about the Josh Giddey Caruso thing. I really thought Caruso would be a great addition for the Warriors. And it makes me wonder the value of the Warriors' young guys. Why would they jump to that trade and not consider the Warriors' young guys? It makes me wonder how valuable they really are outside of Warrior Land.
Austin, thanks. I think the Bulls badly, badly misplayed the Caruso thing. My understanding over the last couple of seasons, they had a bunch of offers that were more significant than what they ended up walking away with. Josh Giddey, interesting story, interesting player, very young. Maybe he does become really a thing. But I think Caruso at the last two deadlines could have fetched you a lot. And I don't know if it was necessarily the Warriors wanting to give up their young players, but I think there were teams lining up some pretty significant draft capital as an offer for Alex Caruso, and the Bulls held. And they held, yeah, and they held, and they held, and they held too long. That's my read on the Caruso situation. I don't think it says much about the Warriors' young guys. I think the Bulls just misplayed their hand.
Yeah, and I don't know if the Warriors were, you know, in on the Caruso talks when that trade went down a week or so ago, and if they weren't, and they just missed out, that's too bad, because he would have been a perfect kind of player for the Warriors to add if they were going to look to reshuffle some of their young guys.
My bet is not this time, but they were months ago.
Right.
And the Bulls' price was too high, and then the price went down.
Right.
Because the offers kind of went away. Like, his name's been out there for a while now. I think it was last deadline, not even this one.
Yeah.
2023 deadline.
And I think that the Warriors right now are of a different mindset where they're looking for the big swings at the top of the market.
Agreed.
And, you know, no disrespect to Caruso, but he's not that. And just to address the aprons with Austin and San Jose, I also don't care about the aprons. If the Warriors are over that second apron, it doesn't bother me, but it bothers the ownership, I think, and we're going to see how they act accordingly. But they've said it's a priority to not spend so much in luxury taxes. But for me, I want to see exactly what you do, Austin. I want to see the best possible team I can.
I don't think it's just about money either, by the way. You're over the second apron too long, it becomes very punitive,
yeah,
and building your roster becomes impossible. And that's what they need to do. Like, I mean, those two things are linked. You want a better product, you got to have a better roster. So that's what they're trying to do. Mike and Marin, hey, you're next on Willard and Dibs. Hey, what's up, Mike?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Great.
The Warriors, to me, they're in obviously a very difficult situation. And I have to say, I lay the blame all on the feet of Draymond Green. I truly believe, and I've been a Warrior fan since Run TMC, a long, long time. I've been a Draymond fan because I'm from Michigan and I love Michigan State basketball, but I put this all on Draymond. The punch, and nobody's really said this, but I think that started the whole domino from crashing down. And I believe this last year had Poole been in place, everything had stayed the same, and getting their new guys, I think they could have definitely competed for a championship this year for sure. And I really do blame that on Draymond. There's some water under the bridge. I do not think they should trade Kuminga or Jackson Davis and go for older guys.
Thanks so much. The Draymond comments probably got plenty of people nodding their head. I will forever walk away from this entire experience scratching my head with regard to what people think Jordan Poole could be going forward or even would have been last year. I understand what he was. It was far from all bad. Jordan, big contributions to a championship, worked his butt off, got another contract. All salute to that. Jordan Poole is now showing you what a financially sound Jordan Poole looks like. And at age like 24, he has even said out loud, we're all set. We're all good here. All of the goals have been achieved. I'm the opposite of bullish on what Jordan Poole could have been going forward with the Warriors.
Yeah, still a long way to go, but first season in Washington was anything but bullish. It was bearish, shooting 41%. Not from three, from the floor.
From everywhere.
From the floor.
Yeah, not good at all. All right, much more to say on all of this, but first and foremost, Monty Poole, NBC Sports Bay Area, in the room with Mike Dunleavy just a short time ago, very dialed in. What are some names that are maybes, possibilities? How's it going to go with Clay, Chris Paul? We get all those questions for Monty Poole next. And then back to your phone calls at 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibbs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, we're in the process of trying to connect with Monty Poole, NBC Sports Bay Area. He was among those in the room with Mike Dunleavy getting comments on all things draft, on all things free agency, at least what he could comment on. While we wait for Monty, just real quick, I don't want to let today's show get away without sort of addressing the Brandon Ayuk situation.
Man.
A couple of things out there for those of you who don't know. Brandon, and this has been confirmed by Adam Schefter,
yep.
Brandon was meeting directly with the 49ers today. Now, Ryan Clark was the first to report it. And Ryan also said that when Brandon walked in to talk directly to Ryan about it, after he said, I want to go meet with the Niners, I'm taking these contractual offers personally. Right after that, his friend and TikTok partner, Jaden Daniels, walked into the room. This is the new quarterback for the Washington Commanders. Now, Ryan put two and two together and said, sounds to me like Brandon wants to play for the Washington Commanders. Is that a leap? I don't know. Here's my read on the Brandon situation. This is what's tough. Every guy is different. Remember when Steve Wilkes said, I'm built for this? I think Brandon is not built for this.
You know, I have to say I'm built for this.
That's actually a pretty good Steve.
Thank you.
Pretty good Steve.
Appreciate it.
Brandon is sensitive, it seems. And
I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
Yeah, I can honestly say Brandon's not. And I get it. This is now, I don't find $26 million offensive if he does, but whatever you think you're worth, some people go into these negotiations, and especially when they're public. It's a fun article on Jason Barrett's site today about media people. What if our salaries were all public? How would we deal with it?
You would like it.
Especially because we don't get $26 million. No. But anyway. Yeah. Brandon's taking it personally, and therefore the 49ers' normal process of, hey, we don't have a deadline yet, so
chill.
August, maybe even late August, we're fine. This is how we negotiate. You start to wonder, can you stick to that? Or should you adjust it when you see that the person you do want, who is important to you, is emotionally cratering as you sit there and do what you just think is big time negotiations?
Are you supposed to change your approach? Okay, Brandon, I know you're upset. I know that things aren't really feeling good for you. So we're going to go ahead and give you the $30 million. We're going to give you the Amon-Ra St. Brown deal right now because we don't want your feelings to be hurt. Or do you just let the agent know, you know, how many ways can we tell you that we want the player, we like the player, we want to sign the player, but, you know, it's a negotiation. It's going to take some time. So if Brandon wants to go down there and visit the team and express his feelings in person, and we don't know what he said. Maybe he said, look, if you don't want to pay me, then just trade me. Yeah, I got my buddy right here.
Maybe he did.
He's a quarterback of the Washington Commanders, and boy, it'd be fun for him to throw me the football.
Well, no, I don't think he didn't bring Jaden to the Niners facility, I don't think.
Right.
I think that Ryan was saying when he spoke to him,
he was
with Jaden. I just want to make sure that was clear.
That's the way I thought.
It'd be super weird if he brought Jaden Daniels to Levi's.
Yeah. Hey, Johnny, Kyle.
Just in town.
You must be Parag.
Heard the weather was amazing. Anyway, yeah, you're right. I don't know what was said. That's just my read. And the report is Brandon is taking these negotiations personal. And that doesn't mean we just cave and give you what you want. But I do think the 49ers, and they got bit by this last year, the 49ers negotiate hard, and that's fine. But here's what I bet. I bet in the back of their minds, they know. They know how far they would move. They're going to say on June 24th, well, no, this is our last offer. This is our best offer. They're going to say that on June 24th because they want to have wiggle room when things get really hot in August. Well, I don't know. Maybe accelerate this a little bit to where not cave, but maybe just go earlier where you knew you were going to go anyway, because you're losing the dude emotionally, and that's not good.
No, it's not good for either side.
It's not good for anybody's. And by the way, waiting until mid-August has its warts, too.
Nick Bosa
almost missed week one.
Deebo Samuel had a rough year when he signed his deal.
So, like, I don't know. Maybe take a look at the way you're doing it. At least just take a look at it.
Yes.
Just consider it.
What you said before about Parag Marate and the idea of win the deal. This is, you know, and he's the financial capologist expert, front office guy for the San Francisco 49ers. So he is used to winning these contracts. And the Bosa one might have been a loss because Bosa wound up resetting the market. There's nothing you could do. You're going to take that beat. But you're looking at this one, and you're probably thinking, you know, I'd much rather pay him 27 than I would 29. And so if he's sitting at 30 and our offer is 26 right now, well, we're just going to wait. And I'll let John and Kyle deal with the agent and have the agent smooth things over with Brandon Ayuk because we're not going to give Indy now in June.
By the way, Monty Poole has let us know that he is still working on some Warrior stuff after that press conference. He will join us, but we're going to push it about another half hour or so. So Monty Poole will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Couple of Giants notes to throw out there as well, real quick. And we can circle back to the Blake Snell commentary as well. But the Giants have announced that every uniformed player and staff member for tonight's game against the Chicago Cubs, we'll wear the number 24. Everybody.
It's pretty cool.
Everybody wears 24 tonight at the ball game. So that's really cool. Beautiful night, obviously, here in the city. So interesting game. And obviously, the doldrums of the Giants are pretty easy to see. Having lost five in a row and now here, that was supposed to be the soft spot in the schedule. Whoops, guess not. So there's that, and obviously a ton of Warrior stuff that we'll get back to. But the Ayuk thing, if you want to weigh in on the way the 49ers are going about this, we'll certainly take your calls at 888-957-9570. Let me, for instance, you know, our friend David Lombardi tweeted this, and I think that maybe this is a little bit of the idea behind where Brandon and the 49ers currently sit. David wrote this a short time ago. Don't lose sight of the fact that the ongoing negotiations are about rewarding Brandon Ayuk a year early. He's already under contract for 2024 at $14.1 million, a very favorable rate for the 49ers. They're incentivized to replace that with a long-term deal, but only one that fits into their budget. But he also added that there's a human aspect here. Negotiations can be stressful. Players aren't robots. So waiting for ideal timing to maximize leverage isn't easy. And that seems to be important context behind this meeting. Ayuk has not taken the Niners' offers well. And he stands to benefit from a face-to-face meeting to clear the air. Does not mean an extension is imminent, but both sides need to tend to the human aspect of this if they have any chance of expediting the process. That's his take on what was going on today.
Absolutely, and that's the way that this has to go. And if you have a negotiation that is normally going to be between the agent and the front office, whether it's John Lynch or if it's Parag Marate, whoever it's with, Brandon Ayuk is not involved, and it's by design because you don't want feelings to get hurt. Yet he's not involved and his feelings are still getting hurt. So if that's the case, well, now you need to get the parties together to not necessarily negotiate in person. And I wonder if Brandon is actually going with his agent or if he's just going solo to meet with the 49ers just to say, you know, guys, what's the deal? I thought you guys liked me. I thought I balled out for you this last year. We were, you know, a couple of open throws to me away from winning the Super Bowl. And now here I am on ice and, you know, I'm not feeling the love. So I don't know if it's an informal meeting or if the agent's going to go with them and they can maybe, you know, not even hash things out, but just talk and, you know, get the warm and fuzzy back because you don't want your player to be wondering and feeling like he's on the outside.
Well, I love this, to be honest with you. I really do. I love this from Brandon. I love that the 49ers were like, dude, come in. I love that he asked for this. I'm assuming he asked for this. Because if he's upset and he's offended by this, there are a number of ways to handle it differently than this. And I think Brandon has low-key been trying some other things, right? And we've seen them. We go to TikTok, and they don't want me. And we've gone to Instagram with poop emojis, right? You know, money talks, BS walks. And his girl and his brother have posted things on social media as well. So he's tried those more passive-aggressive measures. And I don't know if you're right. I don't know if he went in with his agent or not. But I really love this approach from the perspective of, dude, if you are really getting up in your feelings about this, then at a certain point, because you know how negotiations get, somebody over there called somebody over there. Somebody high up in the yep. Niners organization that Brandon doesn't deal with called Brandon's agent, who the Niners, right? And they're having this conversation that's way over your head, and it's getting reported back to you, and you're furious, and all of this stuff gets out of control.
And meanwhile, other wide receivers are pop, pop, pop.
Yep. Exactly.
Deals are flying all over the place.
At a certain point, I think it's smart to go, hey, get in a room with me. Look me in the face and tell me what the hell's going on. Because what you guys have offered me so far is really upsetting. So if you have an answer for that, look me in my eye and tell me what it is. Tell me why I shouldn't be offended that you're offering me $3 million less than Jaylen Waddle. Why are you doing that? That is making me mad. I don't want to be mad. I want to be a 49er. I don't want to be ticked off at the workplace every day. How is that good for anybody? I think that's a wonderful conversation to have. I don't know if the 49ers can answer those questions well or not. I don't know if they can make him feel any better. I think that's a good approach. It's a good try.
Well, if you're Brandon Ayuk, you don't have any other thing you can do because all of your, they said they don't want me back and the poop emoji and all the rest of the stuff you're doing, it has not moved the 49ers to action. All it's done is to make this more of a story and more people are talking about it and the trade speculation swirls and you go back to March and even April and the draft and then afterward, it's like, okay, now they're not going to trade him and yet he's popping up with Jaden Daniels and they're joking around about, you know, this and that and the other and you're thinking, oh, maybe he does want to play with Jaden Daniels or maybe he does want to be elsewhere. And so I think Brandon Ayuk, and I'm not blaming him, but the actions he has taken have helped to spur this on into the public discourse even more. And he has every right to do so. And the team has a right to handle the negotiation how they want to handle it. But it becomes a thing more and more when these stories keep popping up. And the quote about they said they don't want me, that was a week ago. And so here we are a week later, and now it's another story. Now it's Brandon Ayuk gonna meet him in person, face to face. And so this continues to be something that we're all talking about because of actions.
Yeah, but the face-to-face thing, there's a messaging to us, the fans, I believe. Not purposeful. I just think this is a takeaway for me. The face-to-face meeting, to me, states that Brandon really wants to be here. He can say whatever else he wants on social media. Ryan Clark can scream about the Washington Commanders all day long. If Brandon wanted to be traded, you just tell your agent, tell him to trade me. You don't go all the way down. I don't even know where the hell Brandon is this time of year.
Yeah.
You don't come all the way to Santa Clara for a face-to-face meeting unless your motivation is that you want to be a 49er. And by the way, Adam Schefter's report included that. Option one, I want to be a Niner. Now, Brandon probably did state, if you really feel that way, if you feel I'm $3 million less than Jaylen Waddle, then trade me. That probably got expressed. But the number one expression was, I want to be here, or else you don't do it this way, in my opinion. And so that's what I love about it, because also, and maybe it's just for show, but I would warn Brandon real quick about being on the Washington Commanders. They played the Niners last year. Want to know what their best receiver was quoted as saying? Terry McLaurin played the 49ers and told a reporter after the game, someday, I hope to be part of an outfit like that. I'd like to be part of an organization that conducts themselves that way
yeah.
and has a roster that looks like that. And I don't know, a quarterback who completes passes, that would be wonderful. Brandon Ayuk wants to join that? get out of here. That's a terrible idea for Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, he just wants to get paid. So if it's a poop emoji, if it's, you know, a TikTok, if it's a trade threat or a trade demand or sitting out of OTAs or not reporting to camp, there are so many things in the playbook that players utilize to try to get these teams motivated to make moves. And you mentioned it before. He's already playing under a fifth-year option for 14.1. So the Niners' incentive to do anything with Brandon Ayuk is not that high. Yes, you want to do right by a player. And now that he's got his feelings kind of hurt because he's not feeling the love, you don't want that. You don't want a disgruntled Brandon Ayuk. You want a happy wide receiver on your team. But ultimately, their incentive is not that high to give him an extension now. Of course, they want to do it, and teams usually do that. They can have him play his fifth-year option. They can franchise him, which they probably won't do, but they do have other moves that they can make if this thing wants to get a little bit tense.
I don't think they want to make any of those moves.
Of course they don't. They don't want to mention it. They haven't mentioned any of those.
Well, that's the weird thing for me. I don't know exactly what the Niners are doing with the cap game. I really don't. But if every word out there is the Niners really want Ayuk, they're trying to win a Super Bowl.
But they say they don't want me.
And they want to give him an extension. It's like, if you want to give him an extension, then you've already decided that he is in your future plans. Once you've decided that he's in your future plans, I would argue that means you've accepted that you would largely be willing to pay the going rate for doing so. And now the 49ers are like, and I get that there's muddy waters over what is
the going rate,
but you'll never convince me that Brandon Ayuk doesn't deserve at least what Jalen Waddle's making. You can't convince me of that. That's just not the way the numbers work.
Well, the numbers work the way the numbers work. And you can't tell me that Justin Jefferson is 80% better than Brandon Ayuk or whatever the percentage increase that he got was. And, you know, we can all look at outlier contracts. The Deshaun Watson one is an abomination. You look at what Kyler Murray is making at quarterback. There are mistakes that are made in contracts. And so, yes, if you are Brandon Ayuk, you're looking at these players and these deals and saying, I'm at least as good as that guy. I'm probably better than that guy. I deserve to be paid commensurate with that guy.
Yeah.
But it does come down to team, player, and agent, and it doesn't always work out to be fair.
No, I get it.
Based on, you know, however you wanna parse the numbers.
Pierre in Albany. Hi, Pierre. What you doing?
Hey, not much. Just got home. I got some thoughts on the this contract situation.
Let's hear them.
And I think like part of the zeitgeist here is, we need to pay Brandon Ayuk, or like we can't afford to, or this or that. And really what it comes down to in NFL is that hard salary cap. And essentially a team like the 49ers that have developed so many stars cannot afford to keep all of them. And it's not that the 49ers can't actually afford it. It's just the way that league is structured. So you have to make these choices. And if you're Brandon Ayuk, you're looking at generational wealth. I mean, he's already made more money than I'll ever make, and we could all say that. But at the same time, like, he has to look out for himself. And if he plays one more year at 14 point whatever and he breaks his ankle, it's all over. So he has to do what he's doing. But, and like, on one hand, it'd be like, well, take a discount so you could play for this great team. But like, why? Why should he? The player is the one who's out there on the field taking the risk every single day to sustain a serious injury. And the owners of the league that make this salary cap and all that, they're not, their ass is not on the line. They're making money hand over fist. So I know it's not going to change, but this is where we're at. And it, like, I'll even go into Brock Purdy and this like quarterback cap they're talking about. All these guys deserve to get paid what they're worth, and this is what the market is saying they're worth. And the problem is not that, you know, oh, athletes get paid too much money nowadays and they're spoiled and they're this. Like, no, people are making way more money and not sustaining serious like life-threatening injuries. The players need to get paid. And so as all this stuff we're talking about, I think it's really the NFL and it's the salary cap that's the problem. Not Brandon Ayuk, not Brock Purdy, not the players trying to get their market value.
Well, Pierre, thanks, Pierre. That's a good call. I agree with largely everything you said, except for that the idea that the cap sort of is a problem. Whether or not they're it's not going anywhere. Let's put it that way. The Niners have done a very good job of navigating it. Does it mean that you can't keep all of your players long term? Sure it does. But my read on this is they've chosen that Brandon is the one they want to keep. That's why they offered him an extension. I am operating under the idea, and it is just an idea, but that option one for the 49ers, if they've got to move on from a receiver, they would like to move on from Deebo Samuel after this upcoming year. They don't want to move on from Brandon Ayuk. That doesn't even make any sense to me. Brandon has shown that he's the better all-around receiver. Brandon is younger. Brandon is less of an injury risk. That's why they're offering him an extension. I think that trade conversations before the draft went further about Deebo than they did about Brandon. So you're not wrong about what the 49ers need to do. I just don't think Brandon is the spot where they want to do it. So that sort of takes that out of why he's not getting the money he wants. I think he's not getting the money he wants because the Niners want to win the contract negotiation.
Right, and I also think that they have an eye toward Brock Purdy and what he's going to make and what other future deals they're going to have to deal with. And so every million or every half a million, it all adds up when you start to get into future deals. And if Brock Purdy is going to get Trevor Lawrence money, if not a little bit more, now all of a sudden you're thinking, geez, even if the cap does go up after next year, we're still going to be paying a ton of money to Brock Purdy, and we're going to have to pay a ton of money to all these other players. So you want to keep Ayuk down as much as you can.
All right, couple things. We're going to get back to the Mike Dunleavy situation, the Warriors offseason, and a great time to remind you about our Warriors offseason summit that is going to be 2 weeks from today. The summit, that's all the hosts. It's during our show, Willard and Dibs. We'll start live at 2, and then all the hosts, Bonte and Joe, Steiny and Goo, will join us from 4 to 6 at Fremont Bank, 39150 Fremont Boulevard, 39150 Fremont Boulevard in Fremont. Warriors offseason summit 2 weeks from today. Difference this time, if you've come to a summit before, space is limited for this one. So if you want to be there with us, please go now to 957thegame.com and reserve your free spot. It's free, but you do need to sign up. Go to 957thegame.com in order to do that. And how about that? We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. If you missed Mike Dunleavy's talk earlier today, we've got some of the key pieces of sound, plus Monty Poole, who was there, joins us live in 20 minutes to answer all of the pertinent questions. So that's what's coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerd Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.